outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on radio. It's Sam in the Morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, January 12th.
Hello.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You're looking great.
Thanks.
As always.
I don't know how I woke up this morning and I'm looking like this. Like I said, I think I'm still drunk. I kind of woke up at like 7 a.m. and I'm like, where? Oh, yeah, I got to drive. Oh, my gosh.
So you had a lot to drink last night.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're still feeling kind of tipsy and stuff?
Kind of, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Hopefully you can help me carry a show today.
I'll be fine. It'll be even more funny, if anything.
No, we've got a great guest in the studio. We'll bring her in just a second.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell you about the spa that you sent me to yesterday.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It's amazing, and I don't want to talk too much about it because we're going to have him on the show.
Right.
And we're going to spend a whole hour talking about it, so I don't want to bore anybody too much. But let me just tell you, I was like amazed. I went to the spa that you sent me to, and they gave me this sort of a facial treatment.
And was it the microcurrent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like the electrical current thing.
Yeah, the microcurrent. It's amazing.
Yeah, whatever it's called. And it was feeling kind of weird on your muscles and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And but I was just amazed. I walked out of there, and a lot of my wrinkles were simply gone.
I told you.
You know, I don't have that many, but around my eyes, you know, and I was blown away.
I told you. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. And I love how she does it when she like splits it and does like the left side of your face. Did she show you?
Yes.
Do one side first and then the other side.
And you can tell the difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Told you. It's amazing. She's amazing.
So I'm going back. You know?
Maya Medical. Everyone should check them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't get to do all the things, so I'm going to go back, you know, because I had to leave. But it's an amazing place. Great people.
Yeah.
Maya Medical Center. That's in
North Hollywood.
North Hollywood.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right on Vineland.
So check it out. If you guys live in LA, you owe it to yourself to go there. And this is no bullshit.
You know,
make your wrinkles go away.
Exactly. Say that we sent you.
Yeah,
you heard it on here.
Yeah.
But our guest today is actually one of my really good friends.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's bring her in. Matt as well.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
We have the one and only Mary Carey in the studio.
I'm very jealous that I'm not drunk like Bridgetta.
We could have brought you something. I know.
Her and I have drank together many times. We've had very crazy.
Oh, yeah.
A little closer to the mic, Mary.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys have been together, I mean, friends for a while,
yeah,
right?
For a while.
About how long,
I think, like,
Mary?
Since I met you, so I have a weird thing for dates. I met you in, like, June of 2005. I met her, like...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's been a while ago.
I remember
ago.
I met you, like, right when I was getting my teeth done.
Oh, my God, you're so
I got my veneers, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember things like that. So, yeah, I met you then.
Yeah, oh, my God, it's been so long. But
really?
I feel like I've known you forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember
together.
Where you met?
At an event.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh,
at
really?
An event.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
red carpet event.
And then it was kismet. No, I'm kidding.
Love at first sight.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had a lot of, we've done so many things together.
Yeah, yeah, we definitely have. Definitely. We can write like a book just of like going of our stuff.
Of
really?
Our
imagine working on a book. So she'll be in like stories in my book.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the best part of the book, we had to sign confidentiality forms for. So that part, I'll just tell the stories without naming who, but.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you are writing a book now?
I am.
Really?
Actually. Yes.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about it. What is it about?
It's kind of like a life story sl/ also a tell all with different athletes and celebrities and stuff.
Wow.
So I had a thing for NBA players for a while.
Yeah, you did.
Really?
Yeah,
she did.
NBA players and rappers.
So you're going to air out all the dirt and everything.
I am. Well, you know, it's kind of like that girl, Superhead, who was kind of unknown and she's put out a book, you know, listing stories. Mm-hmm. And then Jen Jameson had done like a book about her life story.
Right.
So I kind of have like a combination book. I figure.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a crazy, like both my mom and dad are mentally handicapped. You know, I didn't even know my dad was alive. And then like, I found out he was alive. A month later, my mom jumped off a 4-story building. So it's like a very just
what?
Not, I, don't, I haven't
wow.
had a normal, like, things just aren't normal.
Yeah.
And these were in the past couple of years, like shooting for all this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's start at the beginning. Where did you grow up?
I was born in Cleveland, but I moved to Florida when I was 7. So.
Oh, really? With your family?
With my grandparents, because my mom and dad were mentally handicapped. My grandparents took.
Oh, so it's for real? It's not just like you were saying that.
No, my dad. Oh. Yeah, my dad has cerebral palsy.
Uh-huh.
And my mom is schizophrenic and has fetal alcohol syndrome.
Wow.
So yeah, so.
Were they like that when you were born?
Yes, they actually met in like a handicapped daycare center, like where handicapped people go and do like arts and crafts during the day.
Mm-hmm.
They met there.
Right.
And fell in love and got married.
Wow.
I don't know how they figured out how to have sex, but they did. I still always wonder. I'm like, I don't know how they figured that one out and how many tries it took, but somehow they did.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, and then out came me. And my grandparents, because my grandparents had adopted my mom, so they were very scared, you know, after adopting a child and then raising it and finding out it's not normal. They were very scared when my mom was pregnant because they thought, oh gosh, now we're going to have to take care of another handicapped child.
Right. And
but you know, I'm semi-normal.
Yeah.
I mean,
you came out a healthy baby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can speak and I can add, so I'm pretty.
Yeah, right. I can add. Oh my God.
I'm just kidding.
You're so silly.
So you were born in Cleveland, and, and then the age of 7, your grandparents decided to take care of you.
I mean, my grandparents basically. I mean, you know, it sounds very sad, but my grandparents were around from like 3 months on, and like they. Took custody of me. To me, they were my parents. Like, so I didn't think like, oh, poor me, I have no parents. To me, my grandparents were my parents.
Right.
And I viewed my mom as like my sister. She lived with us. Like, I always viewed my mom as like
she
an older sister.
Right.
And I never really thought of my dad or his family. They were kind of like, I just never saw them, you know, I only used to see him like once a month as it was when we lived in Ohio because my grandparents had custody of me. And then I just never really thought of him. He sent me a card for my birthdays, Christmas, and he'd always put $1 bill inside of him. He sent me like children's cards still when I was older, and then you know, and I never really knew anything about that side of my family. They were I just didn't, you know, even know anything.
So I mean, did you realize that something was different about you when you went to school and people had normal parents and stuff?
My grandparents, like I said, were so normal.
Right. Yeah. I guess
so,
I meant like the
I noticed, I mean, I just used to get jealous when people had like the young hot mom.
Right.
I was like, okay. I want a young hot mom. Like,
you can be a young hot mom.
That's what I wanted. But you know, I was, I mean, and like I said, I was very lucky. I was like in dance. My grandparents gave me everything. They spoiled me when I was young because like, you know, I was good at dance and I was straight A student. I was like student of the year for like our city. Like they gave out the city. Mm-hmm. Margate Award.
Yeah, she's super smart.
Wow.
So I did all that, and then they put me in. They used like all their savings to put me from eighth grade on into like a private prep school, and I had a dance scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Pinecrest, which is like a boarding school / prep school.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there eighth grade to 12th grade, and everything was pretty normal in my life till I was 16, and that's when my grandfather died, and then that's when things got bad for my grandmother, and that's when I had to start taking care of my mom. And around that time, I was told my dad had died because I'd stopped getting the cards. And so my mom was like, oh, I think your dad died. And but I mean, it didn't really bother me at that time because I thought I didn't know him, you know?
Yeah. Right.
For me, I was just dealing with the fact that my grandmother was slowly getting super crazy. My mom was, all, you know, it was just hard to take care of her, you know? And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so I took care of both of them.
Yeah. Wow. At an early age, huh?
Yeah.
You had
16,
to support them at least emotionally.
When,
huh?
I mean, thank God, like, my grandfather died when I had a driver's license because that made things a lot easier.
Yeah.
But it was, it was hard. You know? I mean, because like I said, I went from being a spoiled brat to all of a sudden, like, harsh reality of, like, I'm not a spoiled brat anymore. I'm taking care of people.
So how did you, when you were 16, like, what, did you go out and get a job? Like, how did you wind up doing
we still had my grandmother. I mean, like, they still, she had some of her money coming in and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up selling, like, my freshman year of college. We sold the house to live in a little two-bedroom condo so that we had that money for them to use for my college. And then they had a college fund for me. But, I mean, it was definitely... I finally did have to get like a part-time job, and I had to leave. I was going to FSU where I had a dance scholarship, and I had to transfer to FAU in Boca to be close to my grandmother. And that's when I was like, okay, I need a part-time job. And it's hard to be on the college dance team, which I was on, go to a full-time student, and then try to get a full-time job, which is what eventually led me into, I'm like, I might as well try stripping out. This sounds like, my boyfriend had me enter an amateur contest once, and I won, and I was like, I won $500 dancing on stage. This is so cool. I got drunk, and I'm like, I get drunk and dance on bars and nightclubs anyways.
Yeah.
Like, I might as well get, I'm like, I can go to work and get money doing it.
Right.
And so I did it, and I would see the features come in, which were like the porn stars. And then they used to have like naked magazines at the club with like porn stars on the cover, and I would like read the articles about the porn stars. I'm like, I'm like, well, I want to be a feature. I didn't really, at the time, really want to be a porn star, but I wanted to be the feature girl.
Yeah.
Right.
So I called an agent that books the girls I saw in the magazine, and he got me into the featuring and told me if you do porn, you'll become a bigger feature.
Yeah. So what were you doing before that? Did you have a regular job for a while?
I mean, I worked in a bagel shop for like a couple months.
Right. And you realized you're not making enough money.
You know, I didn't like working in the bagel shop. Yeah. No.
No, I didn't. So not. Yeah, that's so not you.
No. But the funny thing is, with this guy who's, he was a bass player. I think he still is bass player of Newfound Glory, which is a pretty big band.
Yeah.
And he used to work there with me, Ian. And I used to always sit in there and be like, I'm going to be famous one day. And he's like, well, you don't, you know, you just think you're, you know, he thought I was like stuck up and like whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's like, my band's going to make it. I'm like, you guys suck. Like, you guys are a little punk band. They were playing at like a donut shop on Friday night.
Yeah.
And I used to make fun of him all the time. And then like then his band like 2 years later
blew up.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Then here later, you are. And then I like saw him backstage at a Warped Tour like in 2004, and we both just started laughing.
Oh my
we
God,
saw
that's
each
funny.
Other like,
yeah,
because we're from this like little bagel shop in Coral Springs, Florida, you know. Like, very weird.
Yeah.
So that's funny. So at an early age you knew you wanted to be famous.
I mean, yeah, I think it's from dancing. I mean, I was always in our dance routines, I like to be front and center, and I.
Oh, so you started dancing first, and then you realized,
like ballet
I want to be
dance.
Big.
Yeah, I mean ballet. Was
oh, ballet
my
and stuff.
I did ballet, and I was like the lead. I mean, senior year, I was the lead in Coppelia. I did Nutcracker with like Miami City Ballet when I was younger. Ballet was like everything to me, but wow. I'd hurt my ankle starting junior year. I started having to get cortisone shots in my ankle, and also combined with my grandfather dying and everything, I decided I wanted a social life because I started realizing, oh my God, my grandfather died, my grandma might die.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't have a social life. I was doing ballet and I started thinking, oh my God, I need to have friends, I need to have boyfriends. And so I kind of didn't focus on dance as much and I focused more on a social life.
Right.
When I was like 16, 17.
Yeah, that's usually what kids do at that age, you know. So you heard about this contest, right? The dance contest. And you went in, you decided to join. Now, was it nude, topless, anything?
It was nude, but
it
like,
nude.
You know, and I remember it was kind of false advertising.
And you felt okay with it?
Well, they let me drink. And then when I and then
you
when
don't
I,
understand, when she drinks.
I could do anything. Like, I could take over the world.
I'm a superhero.
Yes.
Yeah.
How old were you at the time?
I was 19.
19, okay.
But then when I got hired, then they told me I could work there. And then they wouldn't let me drink. I was like, that's not fair. You let me drink at the amateur contest. And then you won't let me drink now that I'm hired.
Yeah.
So and that was my problem when I was stripping for the couple months. I kept getting fired from different clubs for underage drinking.
Yeah.
And so eventually, like, I found a club and I had, like, a fake ID that said I was 26. It was some Spanish girl. Her name was, like, Melissa Valderrama. I still remember my fake ID name was Melissa Valderrama when I was 19.
Oh, my God. My fake ID when I was 16, was her name was Melissa.
Oh, yeah. Mine was Melissa Valderrama. And she was 5'11", and she had, like, which I'm 5'9", so that worked. She had blonde hair, but her face was, like, really thin.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember, like, I would always be like, oh, yeah, I stopped my coke habit. That's why my face is bigger. Like, when people would see it. And then one strip club, I brought my fake ID in. It seemed like they believed it. I was so excited. It was, like, my third or fourth club.
Mm-hmm.
Kept getting fired for underage drinking. Well, not really fired, but they would just tell me I can't drink on the shift.
Right.
So I'm like, next club, you know? And so finally, I'm like, yes, they believe my ID and everything. But then this particular strip club gave me, like, 20 pages of paperwork.
Oh, God.
I knew my fake ID's address, but I never practiced spelling Melissa Valderrama.
Right.
So I did, like, I spelled it all different ways on each page. One with two L's, Valderrama with different R's. And I just spelled the name all different ways. And they didn't seem to check that either. And then that night, I remember it was a Monday night, I made, like, $6.50, which is pretty good back in, like, 1999 in the strip club.
Yeah.
But I got super duper drunk. I remember, like, going up on stage, kicking my leg up, and, like, the lights came down off the side stage to the floor. And, like, I took two steps up then and fell back onto the floor.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Upstairs. So when I came into work the next day, they're like, you know, you can work here, but we don't believe you're 26. You're going to have to bring in, like, a birth certificate or something. And my fake ID said I lived, like, in Hialeah, which was, like, an hour away. I'm like, oh, but it's my mom's. It's an hour away. I can't go there. It's so far. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But we have to bring something in.
Yeah.
So I took my FAU ID and I went to Kinko's. And I spent, like, 2 hours at Kinko's.
I tried
like,
to
typing
doctor
up,
it.
Laminating. And I bring in this, like, little laminated piece of, like, FAU. And they're like, you made this. No, it doesn't
work. Oh, my God.
I, like, thought for sure. I mean, I spent 2 hours in there.
Yeah.
You made this.
Yeah. And, like, right away, they just look at it. They're like, you made this. Like, this is like, bring us a birth certificate or something, bring us and you can work here. And so finally, then I went, like, I kept getting lower and lower in the strip club chain. Like, I started at the best club in town.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, finally, I moved down to, like, I was at, like, a middle grade club finally that hired me. And then they let me work. And I told them I was 26, that each other manager thought the other manager had checked my ID.
Yeah.
And no one ever did. And
whatever.
And that couple actually passed out on a guy's lap in their VIP room and woke up on the floor in the manager's office. And they still didn't question me. They're like, Melissa, don't do this anymore. Like, you know?
Wow.
It's so funny.
No, that's what's so crazy to me is people think I'm crazy now. And it's like, I think I was crazier then.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely was.
Yeah, I mean, you've changed so much, though. You've changed so much.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm way more now than I was even.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I just remember when I lost my jewelry box. Oh, my God, I knocked her jewelry box over.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
so drunk.
She was so drunk. She knocked over my jewelry box, this tall thing in the hallway, and it broke in pieces. And then she was so drunk. We had to put it back together. And then remember you throwing money at me? Like, I'm sorry, I'll pay for it. She threw her whole wallet, like, all this money was like up in the air everywhere.
And it had more money.
It was like, yeah, everywhere. And I'm like, what are you doing? So I'm like getting all the money together and I put it back in her wallet and she's upside down with her skirt open, no panties on. And I'm like, Mary, are you okay? And I'm like, oh my God, I have to get her up. Like, it was so
Do you remember when we went to that house, like really far away where the guy had like video games?
Oh yeah, yeah. And you puked in the shower?
I don't remember puking. No, I think it was other Mary that puked. I don't think I puked. Because I don't think I just recently started puking. I never puked until recently.
Really?
No, I was drinking.
Now I puke. I don't even drink hard liquor anymore. You know, but I now puke the next day. After drinking.
Yeah.
I used to drink like a bottle of vodka.
Yeah. No, we would go to like basketball games, and I would think this is water, and this bottle of water wasn't water. So I remember I went to take a swig once, and I was like, oh my, that's not water. But it was fun. We always have fun.
Yeah, we have fun.
So you started liking drinking at an early age.
I started drinking like probably right before senior year. I never drank, and then like the summer before senior year, some of us used to, like, some of my friends were like, have a beer, and I was like scared to try it, and I did.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is fun.
And then you liked it.
You're like, and I became the life of the party.
Yeah.
The drunkest girl everywhere. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't mind, I mean, going on stage in front of people nude? Was it totally nude?
Yeah. You know, it's weird. It didn't bother me because I think in my head, I thought they were watching me dance. And I didn't really dance like a stripper. I would dance like, I remember Oops, I Did It Again came out, and I like tried to copy the music video part. Like, and I was like the only girl dancing to Britney Spears. like I wasn't dancing like a stripper. I remember the older strippers who are probably like my age now, who are like 30, 31, they would like look at me like, what is she doing up there? And they would all like kind of gather together and just like stare at me and like laugh at me. But I didn't care. I was like, I'm 19 and I'm just having fun dancing by Britney Spears.
Yeah.
And like also as a regular stripper, you make most of your money off like doing dances. So like I would go in and I constantly wanted to be on stage, so I'd go up to DJ, can I go on and then like another half hour, can I go on again? And like most of the girls don't want to go on stage, they want to go hustle dances. So they put me up like every half hour.
They didn't mind, right?
But I would actually do fairly good on stage considering I wasn't the feature. But that's like the best thing for me about featuring is I get to go on stage, I do a little show, you get tipped lots of money, and you get paid to be there, and you don't have, I mean, I don't do dances, I just sell stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the features, I guess, do dances still and charge a lot for it, but I choose not to.
What do you mean you sell stuff? Like what?
Like 8x10s, DVDs.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Know, yeah.
Pictures with me.
So, but that is now.
$20.
That's what you're doing now, though, right?
Yeah, that's what I do now, yeah.
Well, so I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay. So how did you first get in porn? Like you were meeting everyone, you were talking to the feature dancers and everything. So how did you first, what was your first thing? Like first video or whatnot?
You know what? Well, the first thing I had done was, I'm trying to think what the first thing I did was Howard Stern. Then I came out here. And I was featuring, and
how did you get on Howard Stern? Why did they want you there?
The feature dance agent I had had at the time, he had Houston at the time, who had been on Howard Stern a lot, and Jasmine St. Clair and Kendra.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
A bunch of these girls. He was kind of the guy who was in charge of getting the girls to do gangbangs to make them popular. So when he signed me up, he's all like, "Yeah, we're gonna get you like Kendra and all them." I'm like, "No, I'm not doing a gangbang."
Yeah.
But he's like, "Well, we'll get you on Stern somehow." And I hadn't done anything. I was just featuring because you can feature off of just like nothing. You just don't make much money per show. But for me, even $100 a show is to me, I thought it was great money for three shows, and I was still excited. But then I came up with the idea of why don't we try to set my mom up on a date with Gary the Retard as an angle to get on the Howard Stern show. So that was my first way of going on. I brought my mom and we set her up on a date with Gary the Retard. And then the Howard Stern show, I think they just thought like, wow, like this is really your mom. This is crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And since then, my mom's gone on the show. My dad's been on the Howard Stern show.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, my family, my mom is great on radio. I mean, she's just, Hilarious. You know, she's, yeah. She's hilarious.
So
that's funny. And so then you were still dancing at the time?
I was featuring. I mean, I only did regular stripping for 3 months.
Right.
Because for me, it was really, I honestly like had a lot of trouble with the whole, like, I remember sometimes, like, the grinding on the guy thing.
Yeah.
I would sometimes get really depressed at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't judge girls who do it. I don't think anything. I just, for me, it wasn't for me.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So how's featuring different?
Well, you just go on stage and you get to wear, like, costumes. You have, like, theme shows and they announce
you. So you don't do the lab dancing?
No, and it's more like the DJ makes everyone, like, they usually yell at everyone to go to the stage and watch you.
Yeah.
Versus when the regular strippers are on, like, people don't even usually, like, get up and tip them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like they force everyone to watch you. They usually, like, they usually make the other girls stop doing dances.
Mm-hmm.
And since I like being center of attention, it works well for me. It works well, so I like it. I know, I've always thought for Jenna should feature. Maybe she could do like a bikini feature show. Somewhere.
Maybe.
I know Daisy De La Hoya features just topless.
Really?
Yeah, off of her reality stuff. You know.
Who's that?
I've always thought for Jenna would be a good feature. I've told you this for years. I mean, you know, just because there's some girls who feature who just like do like mainstream or bikini stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Maybe I would do bikini. Yeah. I mean, because I used to
dance.
There
are some bikini clubs out there.
Dancer or not.
Yeah,
like that kind of dance.
Yeah,
but
there are some clubs
you'd have to teach me how to
I just featured somewhere
in.
That was a bikini. I featured in Atlantic City and it was bikini only.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because I tried this like the pole dancing classes.
I don't
really
do a lot of the pole stuff. I mean, a lot of the feature girls don't even, some of them are really good in the pole, but you can just do like more like dancing around. Like,
really?
You'd be fine.
Okay. You'd have to go with me.
Yeah, you'll be fine. I will. I'll go with you as because you get 2 tickets. I'll go with your other person.
Okay.
I'll be your helper for the weekend.
Okay.
I'll be your roadie.
Yeah.
We might not make it alive, though. We'll be somewhere drinking.
Oh, gosh.
I think Brigitta keeps pushing the line, you know? It's like, here, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do topless and Californication.
Yeah.
And then semi-nude on the magazines and stuff. And now you want to do dancing.
Well, I mean, I would do bikini dancing.
Oh, bikini.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Okay. I wouldn't. Yeah.
You wouldn't.
I wouldn't go nude.
Yeah, because it could interfere with your career, too, right?
But I would do bikini. That would be so fun.
Yeah.
I think she'd be good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always have thought she'd be a good feature, though, because of her personality. And
she's
a dancer.
Yeah. So the personality comes through when you dance?
I think so. I mean, a lot of girls feature, they don't really last more than 6 months to a year. Mm. They'll have, like, a hot streak, and they book once or twice to a club. But I've been featuring since 2001. I mean, it's crazy to me that, like, I started when I was 21, and now I'm 31. So it's been, like, 10 years of featuring. I mean, it definitely is a little slower this year maybe than other years, but it's still been fairly busy. And for me, I love it. Like, I like featuring.
Yeah.
It lets me, like, not have to work every day. And, I mean, right now is my main source of income, too.
Yeah.
Because I don't do porn.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was the hardest thing about quitting porn is losing... For me, my porn, when I was on... I only did, like, 6 movies a year because I had a contract. But it was still, like, a steady monthly check every month that I don't have.
Yeah,
so now it's like,
true.
If I don't have a dance... Like, before, if I didn't have a dance booking, I still have my monthly... Ooh.
Oh,
oh my God, thank God it's empty. I spilled coffee almost. If I don't have my monthly check, you know, it's I have to work, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, when Jennifer's met me, I had, like, my porn money and my website money. I still have my website now. My website now is just solo girl. Back then, I used to have all my porn videos on there.
Yeah.
So. I sometimes do miss porn, though, a little bit.
Yeah? Do you think you'll go back into it?
Well, let's go to the beginning of the porn. So how did you go from the stripping into the porn?
Well, you know what? It actually started more with, like, Playboy TV. I mailed my photos to start through Cinemax-type stuff. I originally thought I wanted to do, like, the Cinemax movies. I was convinced that these girls are doing Cinemax movies. When you're in Florida, you don't know. You think that everyone who's in TV makes millions of dollars.
Right.
I was like, I can do these Cinemax movies, and I'll be a millionaire.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah.
So, like, I got the address off, like, a box at Blockbuster, and I mailed it in. It turned out it was for Indigo, and Indigo is a subsidiary of Playboy. So, like, 6 months later, it took forever, they called me and then said they wanted me to go out to Playboy TV and test for some Playboy stuff. So I did that. And then while I was doing that, I met a girl who was telling me about shooting for, like, you know, a Hustler and stuff like that. I'm like, well, I'll do that. And then from there, they were like, why don't you do porn? And I didn't want to do guys because I was married at the time.
Right.
And so,
did you do Hustler?
Yeah.
Well,
Hustler was actually my first AVN convention before I was under contract when I was doing Girl Only.
Mm-hmm.
So I did Girls Only until I got a contract. That way, I thought that was a better way to do it. So I didn't really want to, like, do a lot of guys on camera, you know? So Hustler was my first AVN booth. But yeah, Hustler kind of got me started, you know?
Yeah.
Hustler and Playboy TV. And then, like I said, did the Girl Only, and then I got a contract. And I did, like, 3 boy-girl scenes. But then the company I signed the contract with had me run for governor, and I'd only been in porn for 6 months. So I got really lucky. Like, I didn't have to like do like billions of porns to kind of build a name, you know?
Right.
And then once
right.
I ran for governor, I stopped doing boy girl again and went back to girl girl again.
Right. So you started with girl girl. How many features did you do there?
Oh, girl girl. I probably did like at least 30 to 40 girl girl scenes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, in a year?
A lot of vagina.
That's a lot of veggie veggie.
But it was mostly like the same girls over and over again, I felt like. You know what I mean? Because the companies that hired me kept like having me work with their same girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, because usually a porn would, well, now it's all internet. Back then it would be a DVD would have five scenes and it would be four boy girl scenes in a DVD and one girl girl scene.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And so I'd always be like the one girl girl scene in a movie.
Yeah.
And then.
So why did you stay with Girl Girl? You said you had a boyfriend at the time.
I had a husband, and also I just, you know, I find then, you know, and I was always dating and having boyfriends, and most guys don't want a dating girl having sex with another guy. Like,
right.
And I understand there's, like, a lot of girls in porn who have their boyfriends while they're still being with other guys, but, I mean, I did try to have a relationship. She knows the guy, Sky Harold, and I did, you know, we were together for, like, 6 months, and then I decided to do porn again, and he thought he was fine with it, but it really wasn't. He wasn't fine with it. And the days, there was only once every other month where I'd have to do a scene, you know, with the condom with another guy, but he would, like, go get drunk and get depressed, and then he started treating me bad, and, like, it ruined our relationship. Like, I feel like that's probably what ruined us the most.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting is I'm reading an interesting book about a lot of different things, but it says how men tend to be more jealous and more possessive of the women than the other way around, you know, when someone cheats and stuff. So so I can totally understand that, you know, because I guess it all comes from needing to know paternity and stuff like that in nature, you know, where you're never sure if you're the father or not, you know. So it comes from that primitive area, you know, in us. And so, I know for some people it's hard. That's why many women will date within the industry, right?
Yeah, and see, for me, that was hard. I mean, I've never really been able to. I mean, I kind of went on a date once, kind of, sort of, with a porn guy. We went to the Playboy Mansion together. And, like, it was stupid.
She was mostly with, like, a lot of sports guys.
I liked sports guys a lot. Like, I like sports guys, and I like rappers and like stuff like that. I'm not sure.
Sounds good.
What drew me? I think I liked sports guys because I'm so tall. I'm 5'9", and so if I wore my high heels, I'd be like 6'2".
Yeah.
And so if I was hanging out with basketball players, I think that's what like originally made me like them, was because then I could be like wear my big heels and not feel like a big monster, you know? Sometimes I feel like that when I wear my big heels. If a guy is like 5'8", I'm like the 6'2" person. Like my stripper heels, I'm 6'2.5".
Really?
Yeah. In my boots, I'm like, and the first thing like every single person always says to me is, oh my God, you're so tall. Like everyone thinks I'm going to be short.
Yeah.
You know? And like, especially when I did Celebrity Rehab, I lived with Bridget Nielsen, who's like 6'1" in flat shoes, and China, who's like 5'11".
Mm-hmm.
So I actually didn't seem as tall on that show because I was with, and I wore sneakers and flip flops the whole time.
Yeah.
So like anyone who watched that always expects me. I actually looked like short, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Once in my life.
When did that show take place?
We filmed it in 2007. But Jenna was with me for my party footage.
I was.
Like they have you like they basically are like go out and get really fucked up before we shoot.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so we went out and drank, and then it's funny. I was probably like I feel like I was like, because I was kind of just drinking, although I had a problem with Xanax at the time. That's why.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people, I mean, the show made it look like alcohol, but really it was Xanax, and I've been off Xanax since Celebrity Rehab. So Dr. Drew really.
So it helped
that.
You.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it changed me a lot.
Yeah, really? She completely changed after that.
Really?
I needed help getting off Xanax. I knew I needed help. I just didn't know how to go about it.
Mm.
Because you can't just, like, quit them cold turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dr. Sophie later on, but Dr. Drew, you know, got me off Xanax, so.
Cool. We have a phone call. Hold on. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, I'm calling to talk to Cameron. I guess I don't have the right person.
Yeah, no, you don't. You call into a radio show.
Cameron. Yeah, right. He's on Friday night.
Okay, yes, exactly. Okay, thank you, sir.
Oh, that's funny.
That is funny.
It does happen sometimes.
That's pretty hilarious.
Yeah. So going back to that, so you got on, I want to go back to after you were done with the, or you had done some girl-girl and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you were signed to a contract?
Yes.
Okay. And what company that was, Indigo, you
said?
I was
with, Indigo is the company I did the softcore
for. Right, okay.
I was signed to it with Kick-Ass Pictures at the time.
Kick-Ass Pictures?
Mm. Yes. They were like a newer company, and the owner of the company, unlike a lot of these porn companies where like they'd been kind of like grandfathered in owners, he was a former publicist out of New York who gave up everything because he really wanted to get into porn. And he had started Larry Flint's video department.
Oh, okay.
And then he broke off on his own. And so when I met him, I kind of thought he basically told me, like, you can sign these other companies, but I promise I'll make you a star within a year. And so, and together we were a great team. Within a couple months of me signing with him, he came up with the idea. He just called me up one day. He's like, do you want to run for governor? And I was like, I dropped out of college my last year. Like, are you sure I can? Yeah. And he was like, yeah, you just have to be 18 and no felonies. I was like, cool. And
we got another phone call. Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, is Mary there?
Mary's here. Are you not listening? Mary's been here all morning. Okay, cool.
I know who that is.
You do?
No, she doesn't.
Yes, I do. That's my cousin.
Really?
Actually, that's my cousin's husband, so I guess that makes him my cousin.
You're very smart.
You're supposed to ask me if I want a fish fillet.
Why
you didn't give me a chance.
No, it was so funny. When I was in Chicago with David and my cousin Ange, they don't really listen to hip-hop.
Yeah.
And so I was listening, we were listening to, like, that Jay-Z Kanye song.
Yeah.
And, like, my favorite line is when he's like, what's your order, fish fillet? I just think it's, like, a random line. And, like, so that's, like, our little joke now. That and then this shit cray. Because my cousin Ange is like, what does that mean? I'm like, it means this shit's crazy.
So David, where are you calling from? Are you?
He knows my dad. He's with my Angie is my, her mom is my dad's sister.
Oh, okay.
They're like a whole bunch of family I didn't know I had until 2006.
Wow, that's cool.
I'm moving it over here.
Yeah,
so I never even knew I had these people until 2006.
Wow.
Okay, cool. So, okay, where are you calling from? Are you in Cleveland as well?
We're calling from Cleveland.
Oh, okay, wonderful.
Oh, you see me feature dance, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I know.
No, Mary's an excellent dancer.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to check it out. That's kind of weird, isn't it, my cousin comes, right? Wait, originally, I was like, I don't want you to see me naked.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's fine.
I was going to say, so how did it feel when you watched Mary dance naked? I mean, you're like, that's my cousin. Did you feel, like, kind of protective about it, or you're like, oh, that's hot, that's cool?
Well, I think I'm more protective, but Mary's a great dancer. I think it's just a bonus when she's getting up there and really going crazy. But she's just a really good dancer. She's enjoyable just to watch dancing.
Aww.
He was at the club. I had to feature in Ohio. And he was sitting with my cousin. And my cousin's texted me, come here, emergency. And I'm like, about to go on stage with China.
Mm-hmm.
David, will you tell them what the emergency was?
Mary's father showed up.
Oh, my God.
I felt very uncomfortable having him seeing her dance.
Oh, my God. My dad.
Wow, did you freak out?
Well, luckily, I didn't know what was going on. They're texting me, like, emergency. So Mario went out. My husband went out and was like, oh, my God. And he, like, tells my dad to go sit in a corner. And my dad's, like, 68, and he's there with two 21-year-olds. Makes no sense. They obviously, like, these kids, I feel like, are taking advantage of my dad. My dad's probably like, my daughter, Mary Carey. And they're probably like, I don't know why two 21-year-olds would be hanging out with a handicapped 68-year-old man.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So Mario, like, kind of yelled at him, like, what are you doing? She'll freak out if she sees you. And, like, told my daddy to sit in the little corner where he couldn't see the stage.
Oh, my God.
But I didn't know any of this went on until I got off stage. And then when I got off stage,
Mario
was like, I have something to tell you. Your dad was sitting in the audience. And I was like, whoa. And I, like, started freaking out. And then,
God.
But David saw him first. If it wasn't for David seeing him, we wouldn't have known. And then I would have been on stage, like, shaking my boobies, and there would have been my dad.
Yeah.
He probably would have put a dollar in his mouth, too, to get boobs in his face. But not on purpose. Not to be like...
Because he wouldn't.
Because my dad was there to see China, and that's what he kept explaining. Right. He wasn't coming to see me.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he loves China. He told me that many times. I love China.
Really? Wow. That's pretty cool.
That's so funny.
Yeah. China is so unusual, you know?
David, what do you think of China?
China's very nice. I like China.
Oh, you have to tell him when she was, like, soliciting you, what she was saying.
Oh, gosh.
She wasn't soliciting me. She was just having fun cheesing me, so.
Oh,
no.
I know China, too. So
yeah, Virginia's party with China was
me. Oh, yes.
She was going to David $500. You can spend time with me, and I'll tell you anything you want to know.
Oh, $500.
My wow. Oh, my God. China
was teasing me.
No,
serious. Oh, no, she's dead serious.
Oh, she was, like, all over him, too.
Yeah.
But she was going to make him pay $500.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we had to be like, oh, China, like, he's married, you know.
Oh, my God. Have you seen any of Mary's movies by accident? Mm-hmm. Like, were you ever watching, like, a movie and then, oh, there comes Mary? And
well, they didn't
like,
know about me until I got born, basically.
Okay,
no, I knew who Mary was because I was a Howard Stern fan and I'm a political junkie, so I knew who she was. But it was a little bit more of a surprise.
Yeah. Well,
they got the call. It was just as weird as it was for me to find out my dad was alive and this family existed. I think he got a call one day from my aunt who was like, do you know who Mary Carey is? That's your cousin. Like, it was.
And you're like, oh.
I thought she was trying to tricked me or something, but I didn't know who Mary was, so
you're
I
like,
was ahead of the game on that one.
Yeah. So you're like, oh, now I have to get rid of those magazines. You're like, I didn't do it, I swear. Okay.
I'm trying,
you're
going
to meet
now.
David. I want you to meet him. He's going to come out here. I'm trying to get him and his wife to come out here.
Oh, fun.
But she's afraid of flying, so I keep telling her, like,
take a Xanax. I'd say take a Xanax, but you can't.
So. No, they can.
I don't know.
I'm like, I'm afraid of everything, and I get on airplanes, so they can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Well, David, thank you so much for calling in.
David, thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
We still want to ask her about...
Enjoying the show.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, David.
Bye.
Aww.
I love him.
Yeah, he sounds pretty nice.
He's really cute, too.
Really?
He's really cute, yeah.
Okay, well,
if I wasn't married and...
He was your cousin.
I know.
Oh my God.
No, I
really?
I was saying he's really cute.
Wait, that's so all. Would you ever hook up with Kim's cousin?
That's like blood connection. You know, I mean, she can do it. It's not. He's not her cousin.
It's her cousin's husband. My cousin's the blood.
Oh, sorry.
Angela, his wife is my. But Angela, let me tell you, I'm so amazed by my cousin. She's 42. And she can drink probably like 24 beers a day.
Wow.
Oh, sorry. 24 beers a day. And she's super skinny.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how she does. Well, now I know. She walks a lot. She walks like probably like an hour and 15 minutes a day. But
24 beers a day?
No, not every day. She doesn't do it every day.
What?
But she drinks a lot.
Does she have a liver? No, I'm kidding.
No, but she can drink a lot.
Yeah.
She can drink a lot. Obviously, it's in my genes from that side of the family, I think. But when she was pregnant... And she had a baby at 35. She only gained 25 pounds in her pregnancy, too.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's, like, really skinny now. I think it's so amazing.
Yeah. Wow. It's in the genes, you know? I mean,
I'm hoping.
Yeah. Some women just, you know, they get pregnant. All they get is a little bump. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't really gain weight or anything or not much. And then after they have the baby, it goes right back, you know?
Yeah.
So you want to have kids, right, Mare?
I do, but, like, you know, the gynecologist was making it sound like I have to do it 35 and younger, and 35 is only 4 years away.
Wait, for you?
Well, the doctor was basically saying 35 and younger is the best, like, my gynecologist was saying that it's harder to get pregnant after the age of 35, and then there's more problems. And, like, I used to always say when I was younger, I'll have a baby at 27. Then around 27, I was like, okay, 30. Mm-hmm. And then I was used to saying 35. And now I'm like, oh, my God, I'm 31.
Yeah.
And I don't think 35, I'm not getting ready. I'd like to have a baby at, like, 40 to 45.
Right.
But so many people are having babies that age. So I don't think that matters. I mean times have changed.
I'm hoping. I mean, it seems like people have them later.
Yeah.
I can just tell you that when you're younger, you're better equipped to deal with kids, you know?
I think you have more patience when you're older. I think I watch a lot of Toddlers and Tiaras. And the older parents are better.
Wow.
The older parents are better. No, and my psychiatrist, Dr. Sophie, was saying that he thinks of when you have kids later in life, though, you're able to put more time with them.
Right.
Like, I'd like to have a baby when, like, my looks are gone. So if I could have one at, like, 55, that'd be perfect.
Because
I don't want to, like, waste... I feel like I'll be too selfish.
There's no way you're going to be able to chase a baby when you're like 52 years old, you know? It's just not there. You want to be over it by
then. Like if it
works for you, why not, you know?
I mean, I want to have one, I think, when I'm still young because I want to be able to, you know, be outside and, like, you get to chase them around, too. Like, they're, when they're really young.
I'm locking my kid in a ballet studio.
You're so funny.
And she's going to think the TV only plays ballet. She's not even going to know. She's just going to think that's how TVs are.
Really?
When she goes to school one day, kids are going to be like, you didn't know that TV plays, like, other children.
You're so wrong.
I'm going to brainwash her into ballet.
So what if you have a daughter and she decides she wants to strip? Would you be okay with that?
You know, I don't...
Good question, huh?
Yeah. See, that's the thing, too. Like, when I got into porn, I really didn't feel like or stripping or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't know like, it probably would have been different if I knew I had my whole dad's side of the family. Because when I decided to get into all this, my grandmother was basically, like, out of her mind. She thought I was her mom and was in diapers. My mom was kind of like, she thought porn is walking around in your underwear, is what she told Howard Stern. To this day, my mom watches my Cinemax movie, the R-rated version, to bed every night, and, like, shows people in her assisted living. That's a whole other story. But when I got into porn, I didn't really... Oh, yeah, and she, like, calls her, like, friends that aren't handicapped, and, like... They'll be like, there's kind of a lot of nudity in the movie. My mom's like, but she's so good in it. She's a great actress.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I didn't really think about when I got into it, what if. I mean, I kind of was scared of my ballet teacher. And I have yet to this day to face one of my ballet teachers from my childhood. Because she's kind of like, I feel like I failed her with my morals. But, I didn't really ever wonder what would my parents think because they were not around.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think if I had a kid, they would get into it because they would have me around, hopefully. But if I wanted to get into it, I guess I don't know. I guess I wouldn't mind. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you be, sure. You would be supportive?
I would be supportive, but yeah. I would hope that, I don't know. I mean, and I feel like I've gotten a little lucky with my experiences. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like everyone has such a positive, like with all my whole experiences with the porn industry, with the stripping, with all that, I feel like knock on wood, I've had pretty positive experiences.
Really? Wow, I mean, that's
other than
pretty cool.
I've been held at gunpoint once.
Really?
That was scary, and I've been arrested once. I know, I never told you that story.
No, you didn't.
It was with, you know who I was with, too, when I got held at gunpoint? Worst person to be on the road with, David Weintraub. Like, it's obviously, he's not scary.
My.
You know?
Yeah.
He was, like, out drinking at the bar when it happened. I was in, like, Savannah, Georgia, like a little city away from there, and the owner had left my money in the safe because he left, and the manager was, like, with a female manager, was sitting behind the desk. I was in the office, and then the promoter, and my dressing room was, like, connected to the office, and we were in the corner of the club. It was a huge club, and this guy who used to, I guess, be a bouncer at the club came by around 3 in the morning and said he couldn't wait to see my show. So at 3:30, he came back, and he was holding a gun, and I was like,
wow.
And
wow.
I thought he was just, like, trying to show off his gun or something. So I was like, oh, can you put that thing away?
Yeah.
And he was like, no, get here. And he, like, put his arm around my neck and pointed the gun at the manager. He was like, open the safe, open the safe.
Oh, wow. My God.
And I remember I was just like, oh, my God, I'm going to die in a Savannah, Georgia strip club. And
wow.
Like, so, meanwhile, David's, like, out drinking and partying in the club. So he has no clue anything's going on. So, like, eventually he, like, the guy, the burglar guy, has me and the promoter lay down in my dressing room and close the door. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have no service. Like, this dressing room had no service at all.
Oh,
like,
wow.
T-Mobile all the time. So I couldn't, like, call 911. I hear the girl scream, and then I hear a door slam. And I guess he got the money and left.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I was convinced he was going to kill us because they all knew him because I guess he had used to work there.
Oh, geez.
And they had metal detectors, but I guess he came through the kitchen door instead of through the front because he knew his way around the club.
He knew what was going on.
And then, so then, like, I have to go on stage for my next show. And I remember I was like, David, I'm not going on stage. Like, and every black guy in the club, I was scared. I was convinced there were, like, the burglar guy coming to get me.
Oh, that's...
At the time, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not racist. She knows I'm not racist.
No.
Yeah. I mean, obviously. But, yeah, it was scary. And then when the cops came, you know, David didn't want me to do the questioning or anything because, you know, we didn't want... David just didn't think we should be publicizing on, like, TMZ that I'm feature dancing because it was, like, with the Celebrity Rehab Sober House
stuff.
So I never, like, talked about it, like, you know, media sites because we didn't want to advertise the fact that I feature dance.
But, right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was scary.
Now, in the last few minutes, I just wanted to sort of like wrap this up in a neat way.
Mm-hmm.
So you got on the contract with the company, and how many scenes did you do with Boy Girl?
With Kick-Ass, I did 3 movies, Boy Girl, and then I ran for governor, and then I went back to Girl again.
So that's.
But then I directed it. I directed and produced like 3 of them though.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh,
after
that's
that.
Cool.
Yeah, let me direct them. Yeah, they actually let me direct them and produce them. Like he would give me the budget and everything.
That's awesome.
And so I kind of like Saturday Night Live skits, like little skits and stuff that I would write. Like
you should do more of those.
Yeah.
I would love to do those again. I did like I was a white rapper named Skittle because I had like a thing for like being like Eminem, so I was Skittle.
Okay, so how did the running for governor come up? Tell us all about that.
Well, I lost, so...
No, we know, but how did it start? Yeah. I mean, was it your idea?
No,
the owner
of the company.
Really?
I had never even voted before.
Right.
And, I mean, other than, like, being in student council, you know, like, vice president in 5th grade, I really had no experience.
Yeah,
you so
couldn't care less.
But I, you know what, I learned a lot when I was running. Like, I learned... He would, like, teach me, like, about the deficit and what our... issues were. He would like, I remember before any interview, because I started going on like O'Reilly Factor and a lot of different Fox News shows, MSNBC shows, he would give me like a typed up list of points.
Mm-hmm.
While I was in the makeup chair, I would just like sit there and study it, and then I'd be able to like recite facts and come up with little jokes, you know?
Right.
And
now, why did he want to do this? Was this like a joke or what?
Well, he thought it would be a good publicity stunt. He was like, we just got to get you on the ballot.
And it was.
And then it turned out being fun, and then from there was like a game show I did called Who Wants to Be Governor of California, where we actually did get voted on Game Show Network, and I won that, and I won the $21,000 on that.
Wow.
And that was me, Gary Coleman, Beau Walton's other son, Nate Walton, and... a guy who are all blue. I can't remember. And then like a young college kid and then an old guy.
Mm. I remember those days.
It was
super fun.
We went
to a couple of your parties. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. Well, in 2006 when I started running again, you came with me to that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So while you were running, you didn't do any porn, right?
The recall action was like only from August to October.
That's right. Yeah.
We didn't have time to shoot. I actually had to cancel. The only time I ever canceled dance bookings, well, that one I did a VH1 tried to cancel bookings, but I canceled everything and just concentrated on the election.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, what would have happened if you were elected? I mean, you would have been a deep shit.
You know what? I think, honestly, I could have done just as good as Arnold, because I always feel like that if you're the governor, that basically all the other, like, Senate,
they're doing everything
they
for
do
you.
The work,
right.
And they bring it to you, and you have your advisors, and you just listen to everything else that's going on, and you make the final decision based on the facts,
everyone,
whatever
yeah.
else is bringing to you, and then you have, like, the veto power. So I feel like I would have figured it out.
Yeah.
I think I could have figured it out. So, you know.
So did you take it seriously?
I mean, I think I did. I mean, it is really weird for me, because I would say that it's probably like my ego when I was running for governor, because I went to the Emmys. It was the first time I ever went to the Emmys. Emmys was my first ever red carpet in my life. It was really, other than like porn red carpets, my first ever mainstream red carpet was the Emmys, because the Game Show Network sent me. And they didn't let me bring a plus one, because it was like the Emmys. So it was like me and Gary Coleman, and I refused to ride with them. So I was all by myself. And I didn't know how to pose on a normal red carpet. So if you look at my pictures on like dailycelebs.com, or Wire Image, you'll see that I was posing like I was on a, like,
porn carpet.
Porn red carpet. Like, you know, like,
oh my God.
Like, I'm not
you
kidding.
Not doing
I was.
That.
You can look on Dave's website. It's my first, like, mainstream red carpet. I was, like, you
I'm
know.
Still looking this up.
And, like,
wow.
not only that, but, like, I was really, like, I was wearing a BB dress, BB, like, BB heels, everything BB, but I thought that that was, like, the equivalent of Versace. And then I remember, like, Access to Hollywood's, like, what are you wearing? And I'm like, Bebe. Because I didn't even know it was called BB.
Yeah.
And they're like, do you mean BB? I was like, no, it's Bebe. And like, I just thought it was so fancy. Like, I mean, oh my God. Like, I'm so serious.
Wow.
And I was in, like, the 25th row, and I was sitting by myself. And then, like, I remember, like, every commercial break, I would, like, walk up and, like, walk up to the second and third row and just, like, look at the celebrities and, like, walk back to my seat again.
Yeah.
I was, like, all by myself. And I was very – I remember I would go get little glasses of champagne and, like, just stare at everyone. And sometimes people ask me for my picture, and I was just like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm at the Emmys. You know, it was just – so, like, it definitely made my ego, because since it happened for me, like, overnight. Like, I moved to L.A. in April of 2003 to run for governor in August of 2003 when I was, like, fresh off the boat from Florida, like, totally clueless. Uh-huh. So then my ego got really big really quick at that time.
Right.
Because I was like, I'm so cool. Like, Jay Leno was making jokes about me, and I remember I was just thinking, like, it just was so – like overnight, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's amazing.
I'm way
well,
more grounded
at least
now.
It's a nice experience that you had, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. Do you know what place you ended up in?
Yeah, I came in 10th and there was like 132 people.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And like, considering it's funny because people always be like, I never heard of you and your porn movies, so you ran for governor. My first porn DVD actually was released in September of 2003. Campaign started in August of 2003.
Right.
And my Playboy TV show had started airing, I think, around September of 2003 because I'd done a hidden camera show on Playboy TV for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all my stuff, because I just had filmed it 6 months prior. It was just starting to come out. So people are always like, oh, yeah, you were an unknown porn star. I'm like, well, no, my stuff wasn't out yet. It wasn't
right.
Like, some people I think thought I was in the business for like years and years, and then all of a sudden I became well known, and it wasn't like that. I just just came fresh off the boat from Florida with
it. It was a very smart PR stunt.
Yeah.
The guy was smart. He was smart to come up with it.
So, what are you doing these days, Mary?
You know, I feature dance. Now I'm basically, I always tell people, I'm basically the same as any like struggling actors go. I go to auditions, which is hard for me because like the only auditions I'd really gone to before I got like this mainstream agent a year and 2 years ago was like Cinemax movie auditions or like Playboy TV auditions or porn even auditions.
Right.
And I used to like get everything and be the star of it. So when I started going to auditions, I just expected that I was going to get everything.
Yeah.
It's not like that in the mainstream world. It's so much harder. But I'm basically the same as like anyone who's a struggling actress. Luckily, instead of like waitressing, I feature dance and I have my website and I still do like, I'll do solo photo shoots and stuff like that. So I still have that income. But other than that, I'm the same as any girl, just going to auditions, you know, and doing all that stuff. And it's really frustrating. I don't
because
it's like I feel like I did a good job to audition and I don't get it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm working on my book too. I mean, I have a book deal with I have a really great agent. So it's just we're taking longer than we thought with my book because I switched writers and that's I decided I had a straight guy writing it and I loved him to death, but I felt like I needed a gay guy to write my book.
Really? Yeah.
I couldn't
I
didn't want a female writer because I felt like that a lot of them would be judgmental if they heard my stories.
Right.
And a straight man I felt like would focus too much on like the porn stuff.
Right.
And so by the gay, having my gay friend do it, who's the writer for VH1, so he's also seen all my Suburb Rehab stuff, so he knows me a lot.
Yeah, that's better.
Already, he is perfect, because I don't feel like he's judging me, and he's not going to get too into the sex.
But. Sounds good. And what's your website for people that want to go?
MaryCarey.com.
Mary Carey. Is that your real name or did you change
Mary
it?
Ellen Cook.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I kept Mary because, like, it was so funny. The reason I kept it is because when I got in the business, even though part of me was like, I'm going to be so famous that whatever, but at the same time, I was like, well, if my friends from high school, I don't want to have a different name like Victoria and be out at a bar and someone be like, Victoria, my friends from high school be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So my idea was that if someone called me Mary, my other friends from high school call me Mary Ellen, I thought that way I could keep it on, like, keep it covered that I'm being porn.
Yeah.
But like people from my high school, like I'd done an internet, well, I had done an internet porn thing before I ever got into anything. I had done an internet porn thing. I forgot about that. That's a whole other story. But I had done this little internet porn website in Florida, like one shoot. Like, no, I thought no one would ever see it. And people in my high school, like, saw that. Like, by the way, like, my best friend from high school, like, her sister was still a senior while we had been out for three years. And she calls me up, like, do you have something to tell me? And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, there's a video of you circulating right now at school. My sister found it. So, like, you know, and that's the one thing I just, you don't realize when you get into, like, I think a lot of the girls who get into porn think that they can get away with, like, hiding it, but people will always find out.
No way, huh? Yeah. No way to hide it.
So I feel like, I mean, might as well, like, that's the thing I feel bad for these days, these new girls who get in the business. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to make a big name of yourself, it's almost like you're kind of ruining your life because it's going to come back to haunt you, yet you can't make a career out of it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you make quick money for a year or two, and then that's all they'll have. And then when they try to go get normal jobs, because I mean, I don't even know what I'm going to do 10 years down the line.
Well, so. We'll have to have you back because there's still a lot of questions. So, but we are out of time. Mary, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
I know you're an amazing woman, I think. And,
you are.
A lot of great stories. And I think you're a survivor in many ways. And
she really is.
That's commendable. Brigetta, thank you so much.
Thank you. And don't forget tomorrow we have Kevin Conway, the Extends NASCAR driver, that will be joining us.
Yes, so if you're into NASCAR, they probably know him, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. He won Rookie of the Year. So, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, is he the one in the commercial with you?
Yes, one in the commercial.
Oh, my God. I have to say one last thing about Extends. I remember once I was really wasted in a hotel room at, like, 4 in the morning. And I'm, like, laying in bed, and I'm, like, I left the TV on, and I'm, like, my God, Brigetta. And I'm like, I'm hearing her. What is she doing here? And I look up and it was like on a loop or something. And like, I kept hearing you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like it was so, I was really confused though. Cause I thought,
I was in the room.
Yes. And I'm like, what is she doing here? It was like the first time I had seen the commercial.
Yeah.
And so I kept getting confused. And then it became this ongoing joke with, I can't remember who I was with. Maybe it was David Weintraub, I think.
Okay.
And like, every city we'd be in, we'd leave the TV on, and we'd be like, oh, there she is. Like, we'd hear your voice. And then, like, it just was so funny.
Yeah, I definitely have to catch an episode. Do they still have it on?
They're still on,
Really?
I think they're still on.
It was mine quite a bit. Like, in 2009, it was on a lot. Like, every hotel, every city, I would always fall asleep, and I would wake up, and I'd hear. But somehow it would wake me up, because I'd hear her voice, and I would think she's with me. Or something was weird.
All right, guys, we got to wrap up. Thank you so much again. Thanks everybody, for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. To get in contact with the show, please send email to info@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.